Hello, everyone. Thank you for staying with Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host for the next hour, Todd McGreevy, and you are listening to Common Sense Revisited on Saturday, June 25th, 2011. I always have to check the calendar to make sure what day it is. It's June 25th all day, near as I can tell, everybody, and we really appreciate you tuning in. And you're listening to Common Sense Revisited, which you can find online at commonsenserevisited.com. That is the namesake of this segment of Republic Broadcasting Network. And there you can download the modern-day tribute to Thomas Paine's original. And it is the magazine that's published by Clyde Cleveland on the following interesting subjects of the origin and design of government in general, with concise remarks on the Declaration of Independence, of indigenous power and surrogate power, thoughts on the present state of American affairs regarding specific issues, and of the present ability of America to return to the laws of nature and of nature's God. So you can check that out at commonsenserevisited.com. I appreciate Phil Pozderek's morning show today, as I always do when I'm able to tune in. This morning I was able to check that out, and Exchange Stabilization Fund that he talked about is a relatively unknown entity that he's trying to bring to light. And towards the end of his segment, a person called in, and there was a book that he was reading from, and by the last name of Coogan was the author. And I went and searched for this while he was talking to the caller. And if you go to my personal blog, I have a link to that actual book. The book is available as a downloadable PDF. It's called Money Creators, and there is a link to that book. So if you're interested in finding the citation that caller was talking about and exploring it more, you can download the book right away. You can get it right there. It's Gertrude Coogan is the author, first printed in February 1935. It's in the Library of Congress. Who creates money? Who should create it? And if you do a search for the word stabilization within that document, you'll get to that citation that the author caller talked about. So hopefully there's a little resource for you there. And, you know, right before the first break here, you know, I want to acknowledge Phil's efforts to his personal struggle to figure out, you know, his steps with regards to establishing nationality and how to function within the society. When you know all of the things that we know from this research that, you know, that probably, I don't know, pick a number, everybody, you are a rare breed that actually listen to these shows here on RBN and others like it, and do the research and read for yourself and determine for yourself your own status and the corporatocracy around us and whether you think we live within a rule of law, a rule of men. You're a small percentage, an infinitely small. And, you know, the number could be estimated at, what, 0.5% of the population, 1/10 of the percent of the population. It could be even smaller. And I really do sympathize and appreciate Phil's struggle that he is sharing with you when you listen to his show. And that is, you know, how do we operate within this system that we're in when we are aware of the actual hypocrisies around us, when we understand everything from CAFR funds, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Review reports that every government entity has, and the fact that our governments are corporatocracies. They're not governments in the sense that we've been led to believe in our public indoctrination systems. How does one operate? You know, what are the next steps for a free people, or for people that wish to be free? I personally believe that we have to strike an accord, though, that small percentage of us that are aware and understand these things that are going on. We're not going to get the masses. We're not, in our lifetimes, we're not going to get the entire populace to wake up. It's not going to happen. There's too much against us. Best we can do is to strike an accord, but we can do that. We can get that accomplished. And, we're going to discuss, many things, this hour. I was going to give you a table of contents of them, but I've rambled too long. Stay tuned. We've got a lot to talk about. You're listening to Common Sense Revisited on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and be sure to support the advertisers you hear that support this network. Be right back.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesit, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Thank you for staying with us, everyone. This is Common Sense Revisited, and be sure to stay tuned for Michael McKay and Radio Free America coming up at 1 o'clock, and I believe his guest today is Tom Woods, author of the book Nullification. So that's happening at 1 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. So today I've got a litany of things I want to cover, and you can go to thirdrailblog.com. I have the first draft, if you will, of my show notes up there. They're not as pretty as I like them to be, but I'm pasting in some things, some links and so forth. And, you know, my motto, my blog is any right we the people cannot enforce is no right at all. I've found that when I was helping with Continental Congress and We the People Foundation and Bob Schultz, and that was one of the things I learned there. And it's something I've really think that we should all reflect on every day. You know, if you feel that you have rights that come from God or nature's God and they're not being enforced, then what are you doing to enforce them? What are you actually doing today to even try to enforce those rights, whether it's education or civic action, getting engaged? You know, what are you doing? So I always like to challenge people with that. And one of the things I've noticed lately is that I have a spectrum of friends that on across the political spectrum, from hardcore, you know, socialist left-leaning liberals to, you know, hardcore, you know, anarchist, if you will, and all the way in between, and talk to a lot of different people in my role as a publisher of an independent newspaper, among other things. And, you know, even my really liberal friends are starting to acknowledge that this criminal corporatocracy, this fleecing of America, this of the people of America, that this robbery, this thieving going on is getting to the point where it's obscene, that it is so over the top that even the folks that that would want to rely on a collectivist government socialist system are understanding that even they are getting screwed. And I'm what I have at my blog is a link to an article that was on ZeroHedge.com recently that a friend of mine sent me and said, this has got to be the biggest story, you know, ever. And I have not, you know, ever is a big word, I apologize, one of the biggest stories lately. And I had not heard this talked about much. And the title is, The Fed's $600 billion stealth bailout of foreign banks continues at the expense of the domestic economy, or explaining where all the QE2 money went. And the article reads in part, in summary, instead of doing everything in its power to stimulate reserve and thus cash accumulation at domestic U.S. banks, which would in turn encourage lending to U.S. borrowers, the Fed has been conducting yet another stealthy foreign bank rescue operation, which rerouted $600 billion in capital from potential borrowers to insolvent foreign financial institutions in the past 7 months. QE2 was nothing more than another European bank rescue operation. Now, this might be old news to many of you listening. I share this with you so that you can share it with others. The article is extensive. It has lots of details, and it has some excellent color commentary, in my opinion, claiming that, frankly, that Congress and the American people should be calling for Ben Bernanke's head, that he is lying, the Federal Reserve is lying, that the whole thing is a sham, even more so than we ever knew. And they give a list of 20 financial institutions that were in the queue to receive part of QE2, and 12 of the 20 are foreign banks. So, you know, your grandchildren are funding the bailouts of foreign central banks. And so it's not even just funding our own consumerism anymore, our own inability to have sound currency. It's funding a global bailout. There's one example of something that I think that people should be looking at. Also in Rolling Stone recently, late May, Matt Taibbi, I think that's how you pronounce his last name. He's the author that, you know, did the Great American Bubble Machine. He's been really on the trail of Goldman Sachs for at least a year and a half, almost 2 years now. Even Jesse Ventura had him on his show, his cable television show, as a guest, as a commentator there. He has an article out there, The People versus Goldman Sachs, which is, again, another thing I think that's not getting mainstream or general distribution in terms of this discussion. It was in the May 26th Rolling Stone article that's probably still on the stands, and I'll read you a short excerpt of that. A Senate committee has laid out the evidence. Now the Justice Department should bring criminal charges. They weren't murderers or anything. They had merely stolen more money than most people can rationally conceive of from their own customers in a few blinks of an eye. But then they went one step further. They came to Washington, took an oath before Congress, and lied about it. Thanks to an extraordinary investigative effort by a Senate subcommittee that unilaterally decided to take up the burden the criminal justice system has repeatedly refused to shoulder, we now know exactly what Goldman Sachs executives like Lloyd Blankfein and Daniel Sparks lied about. We know exactly how they and other top Goldman executives, including David Viniar and Thomas Montag, defrauded their clients. America has been waiting for a case to bring against Wall Street. Here it is. And the evidence has been gift-wrapped and left at the doorstep of federal prosecutors, evidence that doesn't leave much doubt. Goldman Sachs should stand trial. This article appears in the May 26, 2001 issue of Rolling Stone. It's also online. I have a link to that at my blog, thirdrailblog.com. And the reason I'm sharing with you these stories is to give evidence of some of the things that are emerging that even, like I said at the beginning of this segment, the most liberal or socialist or collectivist people are starting to realize that the fleecing is over the top. Last thing I've got linked at my blog that is another, I've talked about it on this show several times, and that is The Inside Job, A Wall Street Government. It's a documentary. Matt Damon is the narrator. I have a short excerpt there that one of the comments made in the documentary, which I think speaks volumes, is men who destroyed their own companies and plunged the world into financial crisis, walked away from the wreckage with their fortunes intact. That's a quote from the movie, and I have a link to an editorial that was a review of that published in our newspaper, the River City's Reader. So there's some items there for you. I also this hour want to talk about a few things, including an article that was on Lou Rockwell's blog on sovereignty, which I found to be an outstanding piece. It was written by, the title is The State or the People, Who is Sovereign? Is the title of the article. It's written by a gentleman by the name John Tyner. I don't know John. It's the first time I've ever read any of his work. He is a software engineer in Southern California. He occasionally writes about economics, politics, and constitutional issues. And so I have a small excerpt of his work there. And one of the things that he brings up, I want to read you just a few segments of this here. A reader contended that it was up to the states and the people of the states to restrain the federal government. This reader continued, though, that the war between the states essentially crushed that ability. He's referring to the Civil War. The following Supreme Court case of Texas v. White declared the act of secession illegal. By declaring secession illegal, the federal government was basically declaring the states were not sovereign any longer. These occurrences, in his view, were the real source of the demise of the rule of law, at least as I portrayed it in my writing. If the states are not sovereign, if the federal government is the supreme authority, then the Ninth and Tenth Amendments to the U.S. Constitution were and are worthless. Now, the notion that the states were independent sovereign nations is not foreign to me, writes John Tyner in this Lou Rockwell blog posting. It has always been my understanding that the U.S. Constitution was not an act of the states giving up their sovereignty to create a central government, but rather one of delegating some of their authority to the federal government in order to smooth and strengthen economic and or foreign relations. The reason they delegated the authority is not important. What is important is that the authority was delegated, not relinquished. What was foreign to me, writes John Tyner, was what this reader said next to him in an email. Quote, the people of each state are the state's ruling sovereigns, and all government was simply their delegated representatives, not appointed supreme sovereign rulers. Therefore, the people of a state could exercise their national sovereign authority to overrule those delegates at any time, just like the King of England could overrule his ambassadors. End quote. And Tyner writes, until hearing this, my understanding of American government was that the states and or the U.S. as a whole were sovereign nations, that the government was collectively its ruling sovereign, and that phrases like of the people, by the people, and for the people were simply figures of speech meant to convey the idea that there is no divine right to rule, that the people control the government via the ballot box. This was the first time I had been introduced to the idea that the people themselves were the true ruling sovereigns. So there, he goes on more, and I'm going to jump to the end of this article towards the end because it's, I think, very instructive. It's probably worthwhile at this point to stop and look at a few of the constitutions drawn up by the colonies. And he links to New Hampshire's constitution, which states, the people of the state have the sole and exclusive right of governing themselves as a free, sovereign, and independent state, end quote. Massachusetts constitution, which he links to, and states, the people of this commonwealth have the sole and exclusive right of governing themselves as a free, sovereign, and independent state, end quote. North Carolina, quote, all political power is vested in and derived from the people. All government of right originates from the people, is founded upon their will only. The people of this state have the inherent sole and exclusive right of regulating the internal government, end quote. And Virginia, a declaration of rights made by the good people of Virginia in the exercise of their sovereign powers. It's a key statement there, sovereign powers. We have sovereign rights and sovereign powers. We are this is my opinion, folks. This is not Tyner writing. We are not in and of ourselves sovereign, but we have the right to, we have the ability to exercise sovereign rights because they've been granted to us by our Creator. It's a nuance that's hard to, for most people on the street, you know, man on the street to understand or even concern themselves with. But this Tyner article goes on. I'm going to wrap this up because I think it's really important. He says, all of the state's constitutions of the time contain similar language. Even Hawaii, the last state admitted to the Union, has very similar language in its constitution. All political power of this state is inherent to the people. Responsibility for the exercise thereof rests with the people. We've got to take a break, folks. When we come back, I'm going to explain what the point of this exercise is in terms of demonstrating that the states predate any central or federal government. And we're going to get to the Treaty of Paris, actually, as how it in and of itself cites how the people are sovereign. Stay tuned.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactiv.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us, folks. And I'm your host, Todd McGreevy. And, you know, we're attempting every Saturday at noon for an hour to revisit common sense, or at least try to. And I've been reading to you from a blog posting from the state. It's called The State or the People, Who is Sovereign? It's written by John Tyner. I found it on lewrockwell.com, an outstanding blog website that I encourage everybody to subscribe to. You get an email late at night or all around midnight with the next day's key articles or featured articles, and it's a superb compendium and resource. And Tyner has been writing about who is sovereign, the states or the people, and citing the state constitutions, and that do state that all political power is vested in and derived from the people and originates from we the people and so forth. And so the point of this exercise is to demonstrate, I'm reading from Tyner right now, is to demonstrate that, one, the states predate any central and federal government, and two, the states were independent sovereign nations unto themselves, and three, the people of the states were their sovereign rulers. These facts are recognized in other documents of the time. The Declaration of Independence, quote, "We solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states." The Articles of Confederation, each state retains its sovereignty, freedom, and independence. The Treaty of Paris in 1783, His Britannic Majesty acknowledges that said United States to be free, sovereign, and independent states. I want to pause on that because I'm not an expert on the Treaty of Paris, but I have been hearing about it a lot more lately than I have. and the fact that, you know, the three folks that represented the colonies were esquires. It was Franklin and Adams, and I believe it was Jay, I believe. They were all esquires. They were all attorneys. They had titles of nobility and sold us out. If you read the Treaty of Paris, it actually talks about the debt and so forth. And, you know, and I concur that the Constitution is a debt instrument, despite what, you know, many people don't want to acknowledge. But nonetheless, the Constitution upheld the Treaty of Paris. And subsequently, the Treaty of Paris was supposedly in force. And the Treaty of Paris reads that the Britannic Majesty acknowledges that we're free, sovereign, and independent states. It doesn't get any more clear than that. Tyner goes on to write the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which confirms that powers are delegated, not relinquished. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people, end quote. So as he, and this is where I'm getting to the payoff here, folks, at the very end of his article. In short, the states are sovereign nations, and according to their constitutions, the people are their sovereign rulers. Tyner says, I've pointed to a number of old documents confirming this, but here is something more recent. The Department of State lists the Treaty of Paris, Article 1, the article mentioned above, as still being enforced as of January 1, 2010. Even the federal government, however obscurely, still recognizes that the states are sovereign. It is up to the people to reassert this sovereignty. I'm going to paraphrase that again. And I didn't know this until I read this article and looked it up. There is a document that the State Department issues ostensibly every year to, in fact, I just pulled it up, and its title is Treaties in Force, a list of treaties and other international agreements of the United States in force. This document is on January 1st, 2010. This publication lists treaties and other international agreements of the United States on record in the Department of State on January 1. Even if we consider this United States a corporation, which I do, it's publishing a document that is citing the Treaty of Paris, stating that the states are free and independent. So as the author asserts, which I said at the top of the hour, any right that we cannot enforce is no right at all. So it is up to us, folks, to enforce these rights. And I know it sounds daunting and so forth, and how are we going to do this? I've talked about many different ways, different methods to get involved locally, everything from stuff that we try to do on a national level with Continental Congress all the way to stuff that happens fighting Agenda 21 in your county supervisors meetings, all right? And a footnote that this author makes at the end, which is a segue into what I want to talk about next, he says at the bottom of this article, because he's using this term sovereignty, and oh, man, that's a buzzword now, isn't it, with the mainstream and the meme that's being put out there that anybody that is involved in anything to do with sovereignty is dangerous. I've talked about the Southern Poverty Law Center before, Morris D's, criminalizing that word and so forth. He writes at the bottom of his article, in light of the recent 60 Minutes report on CBS about sovereign citizens, it is worth noting that I am not now, nor have I ever been, a member of the movement depicted in the report. While I obviously support the idea that the people of the United States are its rightful rulers, I don't support the violence perpetuated in the name of furthering this idea. So, the violence perpetuated. That is what 60 Minutes is trying to assert. That's what the mainstream is trying to assert, is that anybody that's involved in anything to do with sovereignty is violent. I actually am aware that in my county there will be a person coming here to speak to all of the law enforcement to educate them in a two-hour class about the dangers of the sovereign citizen movement. That's happening where I live. You should look into it where you live. You should get a hold of your sheriff and ask him if anybody is doing any training about that, and you should assert your right to be there and listen to that training and counter that training if at all possible. I can't believe we're already at the bottom half of the hour. Music. When we return, we're going to talk about grand juries and how you need to get involved with the grand jury in your county and how you can do it, because we've done it here in Scott County. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
And we are back, Common Sense Revisited, and thank you for staying with us this hour. And right before the break, I was talking about the vilification, the criminalization, the bastardization of the word sovereign in the mainstream press and in the things like the hit pieces done by 60 Minutes about the so-called sovereign citizen movement. And I want to point out to folks that many people that I've talked to that are involved in asserting our rights, asserting, enforcing our rights, you know, the term sovereign comes up. But the term, a friend of mine who said recently to me, the term sovereign citizen is an oxymoron, like the term virgin whore. Okay, they do not go together. Those who study these things understand those two things do not belong next to each other. A sovereign, it cannot be a citizen. A citizen has agreed to a contract and is engaged in essentially, you know, a citizen slave. And I call it a citizen slave to the Federal Reserve System, frankly. So those that assert themselves are not necessarily sovereign citizens. They can put whatever label they want on them. I do want to make a quick commentary here. There was a tragedy that happened in Arizona, and I'm sure it's been talked about, a recent tragedy just this past Monday. A gentleman by the name of Bill Faust, his last name is spelled F-O-U-S-T, age 50, in Page County, Arizona, was shot and killed by a sheriff's deputy in an altercation at his place of business. And Bill was known both as a local businessman, according to this article that I'm reading. But he's also was the de jure chief justice in the effort for the Restored America effort in Arizona, the de jure Arizona movement, if you will. And, you know, I hear a lot of people disparage that whole effort. I've talked about it on this show before, that effort being, you know, the Tim Turner, you know, effort at the top and so forth. I've been critical of it publicly about it and so forth. But one thing I don't do is I do not disparage the people that are trying to assert themselves. Whatever pathway they take may not be the pathway that you agree with. But when I hear people, like, you know, make fun of and laugh about and disparage and do ad hominem attacks and so forth, you know, it just really disappoints me, because I think it lowers the bar on the discourse. You know, if it's one thing to complain about something, well, then what are you doing to make it better? At least some people are trying. And if you feel that their efforts are actually clandestine and designed to get people in trouble, then so be it. That you have the right to feel that way. State it out loud and move on and get something done. I don't want to hear about anybody laughing about people. There's no laughing matter that this gentleman was shot and killed. And the reason I bring this up is that he wasn't violent. And I know people who know him and have told me firsthand about his efforts. And what amazes me is this mainstream news article at the azdailysun.com, at the very end of it, they have a big subheader that says prior contempt arrest. And it says that he was jailed in December after filing sovereign citizenship status regarding a court matter in Utah. He was contesting a traffic ticket received July 1 for speeding in Kane County, Utah, when he refused to acknowledge the authority in the courtroom. Faust had made a slew of filings, including an affidavit of political status, uniform commercial code, financing statement, a property list, power of attorney, commercial security agreement, indemnity bond, hold harmless and indemnity agreement, non-negotiable security agreement, legal notice, and demand definitions, along with a motion to dismiss. He also refused to provide his birth date to the court, failed to appear, and was charged with contempt. His fine for a traffic violation increased from $115 to $1,052. The contempt fine was later reduced to $250. The reason I read that to you out loud is that I'm in journalism. I publish a newspaper. My suspicion is very strong that these authors of this article, they were handed that information. They were spoon-fed that information by the government to put it in there and make it look like this guy was a sovereign citizen. And there's no way they could have researched all the things he filed. They were spoon-fed this information. And when you boil it all down, what was the end result of Mr. Faust's efforts? He was fined $250. Makes it sound like he's just a really bad guy and this sovereign citizen guy because he refused to acknowledge the court's authority. You know, folks, but for the grace of God, I recently was jailed last Thursday, as a matter of fact, only for a short period of time. I was booked into our county jail, and that was for failure to wear a seatbelt and interfering with official acts. And so if I assert my sovereign rights, if I am attempting to dispute jurisdiction about right to travel, am I also considered a sovereign citizen movement guy? Am I going to be considered a violent person like this? We cannot back down from these things, folks. The short version of my situation was I was already parked at my place of business. A rookie cop who was in training literally that day attempted to give me a traffic violation for not wearing a seatbelt. I claimed it was not a traffic stop, and they said I was interfering with official acts by not getting back in my car. That was what the problem was for them. I refused to get back in my car, and there are the meme that is getting perpetuated, folks, is that officers are beginning to state that they are fearful for their safety. Subsequently, you must obey their lawful order. And that is going to be the crux of my situation. My traffic violation, the seatbelt, was actually dismissed at my first appearance. And now what's pending is my interfering with official acts. And there's a reason for everything. And I'm going to be dealing with the concept of what is a lawful order. It's an important issue. We have a caller on the line here. I don't know if David's still holding in San Francisco. David, are you there?
Yeah, how are you, Todd?
Greetings. What's happening?
Yeah, it's good you're leaning on that case. I've run into that one a number of times myself, not ended up in jail for it, but it's still important to lean on that. I remember out in California when they started talking about the seatbelt laws. In fact, even in Colorado, they promised that they would never give you a citation or ticket for not having the seatbelt alone. It had to be tied with another, you know, a broken taillight or speeding or something like that. And now I understand these cameras are actually looking for seatbelts. So the it's interesting. I have a lot of dispute with some of the people on you know, various neocons and libertarians about whether or not the well, I don't know if, about the United Nations. You know, we have our own Bill of Rights, and the United Nations also has a Bill of Rights, and one of those is that you have the right to not be tried by automated justice. So, in other words, robot cops, robot courts, robot judicial system, and these the red light cameras or the cameras that send you a ticket in the mail are entirely based upon robotics. They never have a person behind the authorization of the ticket. As soon as your license plate is fed into the computer, it goes instantly to a mailing system, which sends you a check, or excuse me, sends
David,
you a bill.
David, those systems are completely fraudulent. I agree with you 100%. You're not facing your accuser. There's no, and I think if people do a little digging, they'll find that they're unenforceable.
Right, and so the idea that, you know, we have our own Bill of Rights, but there is an improvement as well with the one with the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, which are, they have a variety of other human rights on there that I very much agree with. The right to food, the right to clean water, the right to health care. I think that those are and should be in our Bill of Rights.
So let me ask you this, David. Do you support the efforts of a third-party intermediary, like a government, to take property from one person in order to provide that water and that food and that health care to another person?
Well, it gets into whether or not someone can own the water to sell it to you. For example, here in America, it's said that up to one-third of the water is owned by private corporations, and they are the ones that are managing it or selling it. For example, St. Louis County, where I was brought up, is now the water in St. Louis County is owned by a British corporation. It was owned by a German corporation until it was recognized, and then the Germans sold it to the British.
It's happening here where I live as well, David, but I'm to be frank, I mean, if you support the right to health care and the right to food, you want the government to enforce that right, then that means that government is going to have to take from one to give to another.
Well, it gets into the issue of whether or not someone had the right to own the water and to deny other people the access to it. And so it goes straight to Thomas Jefferson's eternal vigilance over the government. You know, we don't want, I mean, for example, pollution laws. Does a company have the right to do mountaintop removal, destroy a whole mountain of, you know, in North Carolina, for example, they're blowing up mountains and destroying anybody downstream of them. You know, how the government...
David, you and I are on the same page on that. Environmental enforcement of environmentalism, if you will, should be about property rights. And if the actions of somebody at the top of the mountain are hurting somebody at the bottom of the mountain, then that person at the bottom of the mountain should be able to bring an adjudication against those folks for restitution. But what happens in our system is we have a government intermediary who creates winners and losers.
Right.
And fracking would be the classic example. That very good documentary called Gasland, I encourage everybody to watch.
Oh, I know.
Gasland.
Yeah. Sure.
And that's a classic example. The big oil companies went and got legislation passed that made them exempt from divulging the makeup of the chemicals they're infusing into the water. They
right.
got an exemption. So now nobody can even bring a cause against them when their cattle are dying, their sheep are dying, their water lights on fire when it comes out of their faucets. And yes, they granted the oil companies the lease and the right to go frack in their bedrock underneath their property, but they didn't know that they were going to get harmed from it. So when they're harmed from it, they transert themselves. The government says, "Oh, sorry, we gave an exemption." And this is where I disagree with you, and that is government intervention creates winners and losers. Right. And we do not have rule of law. We have rule of men.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a Green. I'm not a Democrat. And as a matter of fact, I think Obama is a sorry case for when you look at the BP spill and the idea that BP was allowed to use that secret dispersant, and that we the people never had the right to. Obama gave up the right to find out what was in the dispersant.
And a tragedy, and even moreover, David, and I'm sorry to cut you off here because we've got another caller, and I still want to get to grand juries, but you bring up a great point. That whole tragedy could have been prevented if both the Bush administration and the Obama administration hadn't given those operators variances on the safety regulations.
And they continue
Here, so here we have, you know, we need more regulation. Well, when we have the regulation, the government creates winners and losers and privileges them and says, you're exempt, and therefore, you know, so I'm sorry. I don't agree with the right to food and the right to health care in the United Nations, and I'm not looking for any type of remedy from a bigger top-down authority like the UN. But I appreciate you, David, bringing up the questions.
Well, it's the idea of pollution across state lines, pollution across national boundaries, and you can be poisoned across the across an international boundary line, and you have no protection against a corporation. So it's we've got to come up with something because these corporations love it when we're divided about a basic idea that we can't protect ourselves across international boundaries.
And we got to get involved locally. David, thank you so much for checking.
We'll do.
Please call back again. Chris in Tennessee, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Todd. Todd, I've had my share of battles. For instance, I was given a DUI on a bicycle years back in California. And they were going to take my commercial CD driver's license, and the judge told me that he could take it. And I said, I believe you, sir, but I would rather not if you did not take it. And he finally opted out, and I went to traffic school. But what I'm getting at is if I would have been belligerent or contested him, then I would have felt the full brunt. But here and then after that, I moved to Tennessee. I've been here for about 20 years. But what I'm getting at is the seatbelt thing. When the guy brought up the question about the cameras checking drivers to see if they're wearing a seatbelt or not, I myself have received a failure to stop at a signal light last month by a camera. And, Todd, that light went from green to red in a split second, where there's supposed to be a yellow light, you know, giving you 2 or 3 seconds to make a decision, but it was all about going to red and then hitting me up for money and then fighting it. And what I'm getting at is that the other times that I've gotten into trouble, I've went to court and the officer did not show up. And by going to court twice, then the case was thrown out. So I don't know how you're going to go after.
Well, Chris, let me share something with you. My interest isn't in getting off and getting away with something. Okay, my interest is in actually bringing the truth out in here, and the truth being that I'm going to file for a jury trial, which I have 10 days to do and so forth. And I want a jury of peers to hear what, you know, let's get aired out. What is a lawful order? Because there's a woman in Rochester, New York recently, okay, in May. She was standing on her own property in her front yard, filming an arrest that was happening on the public street by three cops. They pulled a guy over. They handcuffed him. All she did was film them doing their job. They asked her what she was doing. And she said, I'm just standing here on my property filming you guys doing your job, officer. She was very polite. And if you go to, if you search, you know, Rochester, New York, camera, woman arrested, you'll find it very easily. I saw the piece on Huffington Post. There's a YouTube video of it, of her own video. And the officer, you know, he paused a minute and then he turned around and he brought his flashlight right into her face. And he said, so you couldn't see him. And he said, you standing behind me is making me fearful for my safety. I want you to go back in your house.
Wow.
And directs her to go right back into her house. And she's like, whoa, no, wait a second. Why are you afraid of me? I'm just standing here on my property. This is my property. I don't have to go back in my house. And he asserts, oh, yes, you do. I am fearful for my safety. And she gets arrested and just it's a huge traumatic thing. And she's guilty of interfering with administrative procedure. All right. It's so over the top now. And I'm bringing this up on the show because I want people to understand that this is that our officers are peace officers. What's what they're in the filing report I got, they refer to themselves as a peace officer. They are being trained to throw that card down and claim they're fearful of their safety so they can trigger what I call euphemistically martial law. They can just go, oh, you need to follow my order. It's a lawful order. I was fear because my safety is paramount. And when I was sitting in the back of the cop car last week, their supervisor had to come in, and he was questioning me and so forth. And he said, would you agree that our job is a dangerous job? And I'm like, what does that have to do with anything to do with whether I was wearing a seatbelt or not and whether I should get back in my car? And he says, well, our safety is paramount when we engage the citizenry, and we have to do everything we can to protect our safety. And I said to him, are you telling me that your officer was fearful of me, that I was a threat to him? Well, no. And these are the questions we got to be bringing up, folks. We need to get to know our law enforcement people. We need to go down and meet your sheriff, meet your chief of police. They need to know who you are. We got a break here, folks. Appreciate the call, Chris. We're going to talk to Kathleen in Iowa right after the break.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
The Perculite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Perculite, with its exclusive black Perky filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Perculite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Perculite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
583-1093. And we appreciate you staying with us this hour here on Common Sense Revisited. We're at the final few minutes of this hour. And stay tuned. At the 1 o'clock, or top of the hour, you're going to have Michael McKay's Radio Free Market show. And he has his guest, Dr. Thomas Woods, author of many books, including Meltdown and the book Nullification, which I've talked about on this show. And Woods is going to be the guest, and they're going to talk about, was it really the speculators that caused the market meltdown of 2008? What role did the Federal Reserve have in creating the market meltdown? Can it happen? Will it happen again? And he's gonna talk about how we can still avert a bigger crisis if enough of us act now. That's up at 1 o'clock. So do we still have Kathleen holding in Iowa?
Yes.
Hello?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say that I agree that this is a tactic that's happening across the country where police and authorities are using their authority, using their safety as a means to control your conduct, your behavior. What I say to that is, you know, be clear if it happens to you, be clear that you're not trying to threaten them, and then formally complain. And formally complain if any government official, whether it's a city clerk, a county clerk, complain if their attitudes or they're not helpful or whatever is in the least bit offensive, make a formal complaint. Mostly they think we're wimps anymore because we don't complain. If you know somebody got pulled over or got in trouble for videotaping or anything that you think is suspect, to a neighbor, to a fellow city person that lives in your town, make a complaint. Make it known that you object to this conduct, because that is the only way we are going to resolve it. Secondly, I wanted to comment on that fellow's notion of the United Nations Bill of Rights. No matter how you cut the cards, most of the things that he said are property-oriented, and we have laws in place without needing a United Nations Bill of Rights. We have American laws against these things, and as you said, the only way that a mountaintop person drilling up there can affect the person at the bottom, according to our law, is if the government intervenes and allows it. And we have more of that going on with government intervention than we do actual enforcement of the laws that protect us. So it's a government, it's an unholy alliance between the government and big corporations, and that is far more destructive than greedy businesses, because if we didn't have government intervention, those greedy businesses would be held accountable to the law.
Absolutely.
So that's really what I have to say.
Well, it's so critical, and the concept that more government intervention is going to help anything is just such an oxymoron. It boggles the mind.
Okay.
There's so much stuff to cover, everybody. Thank you for the input, Kathleen. Appreciate it.
Thank
very
you.
Much. There's a new executive order that Obama issued just the other day. I just got a blog posting from Food Freedom, which is another excellent blog people should check out. I can't even explain it right now. It has to do with essentially enforcing Agenda 21 through property acquisition. That just got signed up, if you will. There's a great article at LAWeekly.com, an investigative piece, a six-week investigation about how county officials are going out with guns and actually taking people out of their homes in the rural areas of L.A. County for infractions of building codes for people that have been living there for 20, 25 years, relatively off the grid, and taking their property, making them homeless. That's happening right before our eyes. I wanted to talk about juries, grand juries, and I'll just be very brief, and we'll go into more detail. Actually, we won't go into more detail. I'll have to go into it in more detail next week, everybody. And appreciate you listening today. And you can check out show links at thirdrailblog.com, thirdrailblog.com. And next week, we will talk about how you can engage your de facto grand jury in your county and why you should. Stay tuned for Radio Free Market with Michael McKay. Take care.